a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, here we go, kids. Episode 302. It'll be almost 400 and something before I get used to saying three. I can't imagine 300 or anything. I start planning episode 400 now. I tell you what, I'm saying it right now. Episode 500. If there is an episode 500, if we keep doing this long, I want to do something crazy and magnificent. I'm thinking like Italy or something. I mean, I want to go someplace. I want 500 to be like a week of amazing shows, like traveling around Europe or something. Maybe on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. I should do my math and figure out how many shows. Now I got to figure out how many shows I do a week, which is getting kind of thin these days, and I apologize, but a friend of mine said to me the other day, I don't know how you do everything you do. I'm like, and I slack so hard too. I don't know what it is. It's just, I think my secret is, my strategic secret, my superpower, if you will, is I do things badly. But G.K. Chesterton said, if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And that is, that's my superpower, is the ability to just not let the perfect get in the way of the good. That's not true. Actually, I sit and I just don't pull the trigger on so much because I can't do it perfectly. But if I pull the trigger on everything, just get completely out of hand. And it might at some point. Anyway, so episode 302, I am posted up in the Holiday Inn Express in Overland Park, Kansas. This is Calix / Counterposition on the road. I might be heading back towards Colorado today. Not sure. Depends. There's variables. There's in the words of the Big Lebowski. There's a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous. You know. Anyway, so I had a great day yesterday. So I woke up so tired because the dogs kept me up, and like I had a kind of an allergic reaction to the dogs at my aunt's house, and we stayed up super late. So I was kind of hurting a little bit, but I spent the morning hanging out in PT's Coffee in Topeka, and I think I pitched that yesterday. I have a shout out, but man, they just do a great job. I've loved PTs for a long, long time. Ever since I met Robin, what's his name? I can't think of that. He doesn't work for him anymore. But guy that used to work for PTs a million years ago, I met, and at a coffee fest or something like that, you know. And I tasted their coffees, and they're so good, and they're just consistently good. Their menu is just really well crafted. Their food is well crafted. They just have, you know, it's like a. You know, they say that perfection is not when there's nothing else you can add, but when there's nothing else you can take away. And as over time, it seems like there are two types of coffee houses. Okay, time out in advance. If it's your first time listening, I've been in the coffee industry for 23 years. The counter position is the position behind the counter. Play on words. I talk about coffee stuff sometimes. I know I'm getting new listeners all the time, so I've gotten a couple of comments like, I tuned into this Catholic podcast and he started talking about like hospitality and customer service and how you lay out a coffee. And I'm like, exactly. Yeah, this isn't your typical Catholic media. This is all of reality filtered through the lens of a single human person. And this single human person happens to have been in the coffee industry for 23 years. So, there's two things that coffee houses do. They either become, their menu gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more expanded and more like weird kind of specialty drinks. And every time Bob comes in and gets the mocha with a splash of raspberry and three pumps of coconut, and then people start saying the usual, next thing you know, you end up with the Bob on the menu. There's the Bob, and it's like your menu needs some mocha with raspberry and coconut or whatever called the Bob, you know? And there's part of me that kind of champions something like that. Like, yeah, it's the incarnation of the local into kind of something to be shared with everyone else. But the other, but then it just gets more and more and more, and just, it just, you just keep adding things, and you add things and add things until you can't add anything else. Now, most coffee houses in that same time go through a process where they continually add more and more and more, more and more stuff, more and more events, more and more things that aren't the consumption of food and beverage, and conversation, reading and writing, the things that make up the life of the cafe. They add more and more, and they become kind of, so the one tendency is for coffee houses to get a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger menu, and they become the event oriented coffee house. And then they also, just like their space gets more and more full of stuff, right? Now, the modern coffee house and some of the best ones, like, they start off and they add things and they take things off. And over time, they figure out what is essential. And their coffee houses, their menu gets smaller as they go on. And then it gets, and then maybe they add a new line of something and they pare that down. And it may end up overall kind of growing with the things that it offers, but every part of it has gotten pared down to the essentials, and the space itself gets kind of pared down to the essentials and what is in it and what is not in it. And in the events that happen there, the things that interrupt normal cafe life kind of get distilled down until there's just, you know, only things that reflect the real kind of like organic outgrowth of the community that exists in the space. So as anybody who listens to this show would probably know, I kind of tend towards the latter. And I think that PT's Coffee in Topeka, Kansas, at least the one down on, what do they call that? University Hill or something like that, right there by Washburn. It's just a good shop with good customer service. They've really got it dialed. And then they'll turn around and do something super quirky. Like, there was a bottle of water in a custom made sign that someone had designed and printed with a logo, and it was called Fred Water, and it was $2.25. And I asked what it was, and it was like, oh, Fred's one of the owners. Yeah. So this is, it's just water that we put Fred's name on. I don't even think it was actually for sale. They just made a bottle of water and called it Fred Water and made a logo for it and put it for sale. So, you know, once you learn to do all the scales, there's room for the occasional jazz. You know, you can do something kind of quirky and fun in the context of an overwhelmingly well bonsai treed, pared down to the essential environment. And so there you go. There's an unrequested treatise on coffee houses. I should start putting all these things down for Calyx. All right. So, yesterday. So hung out PT's Coffee. I'm working on a food menu for the cafe in Denver right now. We're thinking about bringing the food service in house. And so, I should quit making noise with my case. I got a couple things on the menu that I wouldn't normally order, but I know they're things that they want to include on them. I'm like, well, how do they doing that? And it was good. It was really good food. I was really impressed. I wish I could have gotten back behind the counter and kind of looked at their setup and how much equipment they have to make that happen. Talk to them about scheduling and whatnot, but there just wasn't anyone I really knew working. So anyway, if you're in Topeka, Kansas or around that world, PT's, man, good shop. I think I'm going to head out to Oddly Correct later today too, in Kansas City. I keep hearing good, good things. I've been hearing good, good things about you. Sorry, little descendants moment. Those to have ears to hear, let them hear. hear all so many inside jokes. And so I think I want to head out to Oddly Correct and check them out later on today. So, speaking of, brands, and kind of like things like that, I want to talk a little about when we get back from the break, a brand that I experienced last night, a menu that I experienced last night, and just kind of like I just want to talk about it a little bit and the emotional kind of connection to a brand that I experienced both. So I hung out with Clara last night. Clara is in her early to mid 20s. I was engaged to her mom back in the 90s. And, you know, for a while, she was going to be my daughter. And so we lovingly refer to her as my almost daughter, and she calls me her almost dad. Kind of cute, huh? And we've reconnected in the last 5-6 years on Facebook and kept up. And last night was the first time that we really, really sat down and talked. And it was funny how this brand kind of played a role in that too. So I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about a few insights I had from that meeting. And I had a kind of a strange experience last night, not that profound, and definitely a very first world problems. But it just kind of got me thinking about a couple of ideas that I would like to kind of go over involving kind of base existential human experience and even like, you know, just our physical needs and whatnot. So, I may tell a slightly embarrassing story in the process. Who knows? All right. So that's what's coming up on the next segment. And you're listening to The Counter Position. Be right back.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your well-rested and posted up in a late checkout hotel room in Kansas City host, Andrew Whaley. And you're listening to Calic / Counter Position on the Road, episode number 2. So I headed out to Kansas for a conference symposium, the 6th annual symposium for the advancing of the new evangelization at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. Lovely little town of Atchison, Kansas. Shout out to everyone at Benedictine College and everyone in Atchison, Kansas. And hung out with my fam down outside Topeka a little bit. Hung out in Topeka, came in last night. I'm in Kansas City. Now, you know what's funny? I grew up in Missouri, and I grew up across the town, across the state from Kansas City, and I could just count on my left hand, the times that I've been to this city. Usually it was because my friend Kevin Clay had a gig down in Westport at the Church House community. That there was like this kind of Protestant community church. It was a church with like a communal living thing and like Jesus people, hippies and stuff, and had some good times. Interesting, stressful times too, but some good times in that situation. But I just haven't spent much time here. And other than that, I've never been. This is like the second time I've been down in this part. Now, here's what's interesting is the part of Kansas City that I'm in, Overland Park, my friend Nick Blaha is from here, Father Nick Blaha. And I was here once for his ordination. God, that was a trip. My car broke down on the way home, and I got stuck in this crappy hotel at a truck stop for like 3 days. Oh, I forgot all about that. Anyway, so, but what's funny is that I am 30 minutes from the place of my birth. I was born in Belton, Missouri. And the reason I was born in Belton, Missouri on the other side of the state is because I was born on Richard Grabauer's Air Force Base because my mom and dad were living on the base. My dad was in the Air Force. And so I have only been here one other time. And I don't know, I'm kind of kicking around. It's not even an Air Force base anymore. They turned it into something else. But I'm thinking about going back down there. I don't know, just kind of driving by. And I go, oh, hey, wow. There's the place I am. Well, I started to say the place I came into existence, but I believe in, you know, life at conception. And, you know, life begins at fertilization. So, I mean, I'm not going to speculate where I came into existence because that just wouldn't be appropriate, considering it was my mom and dad. But I'm sure it was somewhere in southern Missouri or at some other Air Force base, most likely, depending on how long they were in the Air Force. I don't know. I should ask my mom. Where was I? Where, best guess, where was I conceived at? I'm glad my mom doesn't listen to this show. It's completely embarrassing. All right. So, okay. So the brand that I was talking about before the break that I have this long time attachment to is Emo's Pizza. Now, I know that you have heard me go on and on and on and on about like authentic artisan stuff. I've talked about pizza, Neapolitan pizza. I've gone on and on and on about Una Pizza Napolitano and Anthony Mangieri that moved Una Pizza Napolitano from Brooklyn out to New York. I mean, from Brooklyn out to San Francisco, and how I met him in my shop in Fillmore, and how he's like, you know, I love that, you know, from Thursday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until the fresh dough runs out, and how they bring everything from Italy or make it fresh there, and how there's no substitutions, and the wood fired oven he built himself, 900 degrees. That whole, I mean, I love that authentic thing, right? Okay. And you've heard me probably bash and tease my friends about Chicago pizza not being real pizza. And if you have a strong stomach for a little bit of naughtiness, the John Stewart rant on New York versus Chicago pizza is probably worth, if you have like a, if you're trying to be a good little Catholic person and you have like, oh, I only allow myself, you know, X amount of these cuss words per month in my entertainment, I mean, it might be worth burning a few on this pizza rant because it's pretty awesome. But so I go off and tease my friends from Chicago about Chicago pizza not being real pizza. It's a casserole cooked in a cast iron pan. It's like, in the words of John Stewart, that's not a pizza. That's a marinara. That's an above ground marinara pool for rats. So now I have this deep abiding love for Emo's Pizza, right? Emo's. Now let's look at Emo's. Emo's was started on the hill in St. Louis, Lombard Italian family. And it's a super thin cracker crust with a just slightly, just a hint of sweetness, pork-infused kind of sauce. I know it's pork-infused because we got in trouble one time because we didn't know it was pork-infused, and we served it to a Muslim dude, and then he got really mad, and we had to look it up, and it turns out, yes, it does have pork in it. We didn't know. We apologized. It was a long time ago. Anyway, so, but it's made with Provel cheese. Now, already this is in a weird form. It's cooked on a conveyor belt where both sides are cooked at the same time, not a wood-fired oven or whatever. It's on a cracker crust, basically. And it's Provel cheese, which is, I mean, it's, man, I'm going to go back for lunch there. What was I thinking? I was trying to figure out what to get for lunch. I am near Emo's. So it's on a cracker crust. And it's got this Provel cheese. A Provel cheese is, I know what you're thinking, Provolo, that is kind of short, Provel, like the Mats, put the Mats on it. Mats, a little bit, a nice little bit of Mats, you know, Gabagool. You know? No. Provel is not provolone. It is a weird processed cheese made of provolone Swiss, which I hate normally, and cheddar, I think. It's like a weird brick of processed cheese. So I know what you're thinking. Come on, dude. You are like some kind of like artisan, like it has to be real. It has to be authentic, you know, blah, blah, blah. You like some weird ass cracker pizza with processed cheese all over the top and Romano with a little bit of herb in it on top before they cook it. And the answer is yes. Yes, I do. I do. I love it. It's just a weird, it's a weird combination of flavors and it's super good. And it's not that process. It's just three cheeses blended. They probably melt them down and then put them back in a brick. It's not that hard. It's not that price. It's not like it's like Velveeta slices or something, you know, or like Kraft slices or like Velveeta cheese. Okay, sidebar. Long story. I was in a situation where I got to try, like I tried a little chunk of Velveeta cheese not too long ago. I ate all kinds of Velveeta cheese. I thought Velveeta was cheese when I was a kid, you know, or the Kraft stuff and the, like the little slices you open up. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just bad. It was old or something. Just, I had to spit it out. It was like the worst thing I've ever tasted. But anyway, Provel cheese goes on the pizza. Now, here's the thing. Two things about this brand. A, if you grew up around St. Louis, Emo's is the thing. It is like something like there's certain brands and certain foods. So there's certain brands that are just local to, and Emo's is one of them. Another one is Ted Drew's Custard. I didn't grow up in St. Louis. I didn't go to St. Louis very often. I didn't experience Emo's until I was in my late teens. And live in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and they opened an Emo's down there to service kind of Southeast Missouri State University, and I ended up working there. So there's the one reason why I have this deep abiding love for Emo's now. But Clara grew up in St. Louis with her mom, and she just like grew up on Emo's. I from 19 to like my early mid 20s, I mean, I delivered pizza for Emo's. So I'm just slept around my existence, my car, I smelled like Emo's pizza for 3-4 years, which is disgusting, right? Explains why I'm single early on. See, if I had not delivered pizza, maybe I'd be married now. But no, I mean, Emo's is like, I have eaten a ton of Emo's and I have just delivered for Emo's. I was delivering for Emo's when I hurt my back and I had to quit. I mean, it was just like, I have just ran a ton of Emo's pie and eaten a ton of Emo's pie. And it's just something that just taps into something for me. But with Clara, it taps into her being raised in that. So it's funny. We got to introduce Dr. Megan Corrin, who had dinner with us, to Emo's Pizza, and we're kind of, and I was so pleased that she liked it, because a lot of people who are not from St. Louis will taste this weird pizza and go, okay, that's just strange. What is that? I mean, but it's good. It's super good. I'm like really into it. Now, here's the thing. All my people who are ripping on me about ripping on Chicago pizza, I'm looking at you, Elizabeth Mallory, if you're listening. I don't mistake Emo's for real pizza. It's not pizza. It's not real pizza. It's as different from pizza as, you know, like a lasagna is from like a bowl of spaghetti or something. They're just different things, you know. I don't really consider it pizza, properly speaking. It's Emo's pizza, but it's Emo's. It's Emo's, you know. It's like, I'm sure that crappy casserole that they make in Chicago. The one time I had a Chicago pizza, it was in O'Hare Airport, and probably not by any means the best pizza. But I didn't like it at all. I thought it was weird. I just wasn't into it. So I'm sure that there's probably some killer pie someplace. Ken Kramer swears by this stuff, and he's got good taste for the most part. Yeah, so anyway, we went to Emo's last night. Man, I just did an entire segment on Emo's. That was not what I intended to do. You know, and while we're talking about Emo's in St. Louis, just throw it out. Toasted ravioli. Moscaccioli, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. And ooey gooey butter cake. That's and for me, being in Southern Missouri, I'm gonna look in the grocery store before I go. Oberle sausage, man, from St. Genevieve, Missouri. Oh, I'm sure it doesn't come this far over in the state. Man, if they have Oberle, I will buy a cooler and fill it with ice. And just buy a ton of Oberle sausage just to take back to Colorado with me. I mean, I will drop half a paycheck on Oberle, freeze it when I get home. All right, let's go to the break. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then how we crave a hanging in his dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to the Counterposition. I am your very hungry and needing to go get some pizza for lunch host, Andrew Whaley. And I just burned an entire segment talking about Emo's Pizza. Not what I intended to do. But it's interesting, you know, how these things, you know, everyone's got that thing that they think of that reminds them of home. I was talking to Adam Beach about this because, you know, that show that you, if you heard the Chris Stefanik episode not too long ago, which if you didn't, episode 299, his daughter pulls hair out of his back with hot wax. It is spectacular and very Howard Stern-ish for Catholic media. he screamed like a girl. It was amazing. Anyways, I just keep pitching that show. We were talking about a show on there that I'm thinking about doing. So I've been pitching a pilot for a TV show to some friends of mine that do that kind of thing for Chris. And they're interested in it. And people, there's been some interest. And I want to see if Chris's show gets accepted by Netflix. Because my business model that I have for this show, this idea that I have for this show is kind of based around Netflix, iTunes, and all that. And if we can, as Catholics, break the Netflix barrier like that, that opens up some possibilities to kind of get around the permission of what's allowed to be done in the name of Catholic media. Kind of like we're doing with Breadbox, except video, and except a little more Anthony Bourdain-ish. But one, the pilot episode we're talking about is the power of food to transport you. And one of the places that food can transport you to is home. And so I asked a bunch of my friends, what do you eat? You know, what do you make when you want to go home? What do you make whenever you, when you feel like you need that experience of home? And, you know, like my friend Adam Beach said, green chili. For some reason, his family's always made green chili. It's that New Mexico style. It's a very particular recipe. When I'm really craving like home and hearth, you know, but I'm kind of like homesick for this place that doesn't really even exist anymore, but it's like, it was a moment or something in the past. There's two things that I make. One of them is, a beef soup that my Aunt Rabbit used to make. I haven't talked about Aunt Rabbit in forever. Shout out to Aunt Rabbit or Pronobis, and shout out to Kevin Clay because he loves it when he told me you should just mention Aunt Rabbit every show. Like when I first started Aunt Rabbit, I did. I had an Aunt Rabbit and Uncle Jude. Aunt Rabbit used to make this soup, and she was like my grandma. I mean, she raised my dad, you know, so she was like my grandma. She was my great aunt though. And it's a long, long tragic story of how that went down. But anyway, so, my Aunt Rabbit used to make this soup, and it would be like a beef soup with, I'm trying to remember what all it had in it. It definitely had tomatoes in it, and it had potatoes in it, and it had onions in it. I can't remember. I don't think it had celery in it. I think it just had onions, and she didn't use stock, and she, I think she boiled the beef straight. I don't know if she browned it, but I've tried. I've gotten it down to where I make, because I remember tasting caldo de res the first time, which is the soup of thing, is what my friend Rory says that the caldo de res is, because res is the things. So it's soup of things, because res publica are the public things. So republic is short for res publica, right? Anyway, so in Mexico, they have a soup called caldo de res, which is actually beef soup. And that beef soup tastes exactly like my aunt's, even though it's got a few different ingredients in it. So it got me craving it. And so I figured it out, and it's got macaroni in it. And I figured out you had to drain the tomatoes. So I make this one kind of bland, but really kind of flavorful, good beef soup. And then sometimes, because my mom used to make me this all the time, I want pork steaks with garlic salt on them. A little bit of pepper, baked in the oven until they're really crunchy and kind of overcooked. And if I want to go really out of the way, I can do like fried potatoes with onions and, you know, salt and pepper and stuff like in the pan. I usually throw a little garlic in there too. But definitely those garlic pork chops, this is what I crave when I'm thinking about my childhood. So these different things. So I think that emos is one of those things that you think about. It takes you back. Oberly Sausage for me is something I grew up eating. It takes me back. It's something that I am. I've come full circle back to an experience that is kind of dots my life. It's happened over and over again. Even if it's a culinary or sensory experience, it adds, it kind of gives continuity in some way. So it was just interesting seeing how Claire's generation and my generation from two different parts of Missouri, for two different reasons, we both like bonded and we were like sharing this like deep love and excitement for the experience of getting to eat emos. And we were sharing that with Megan, and she was like, you know, and she like dove into it and dug it. It was kind of fun. Anyway, so that's why I ended up talking. Now I just talked another half of an episode about emos. Well, about food. I'm not going to get anywhere near all the cool stuff at the end of my outline. I never do, right? The best part of this show is always the part that doesn't get talked about, which is kind of like G.K. Chesterton said that the best book there's all kinds of books that he's intended to write that he never wrote. And of course they're all better than the books he actually did write. So I've got a lot of incredible books. I just haven't written any of them. So my wife can read them because they don't have being. My wife doesn't have being. And so that's a perfect combination. I have all these books that my wife can read, and they're good. And that's why she loves me so much. And she's beautiful and intelligent. Okay, so my experience last night. So last night I went to this Bag Coffee House. I won't name it. It's just a local chain here, I guess. And it's just like, I'm like, really? People are still doing this? You're still doing this thing this badly? And I just like, it's just, this wasn't good. And it was just so kind of like a 90s, you know. But nice enough people, nice environment. So read some books, hung out. Claire came over. We hung out there for a while. Then we went to Emo's, and then we went to get frozen yogurt afterwards. And we that was a good time. So then I got done with that. So here's a slightly embarrassing story. I was just off in the city. I'd made no plans, and I'm like, oh, I need to find a place to sleep. And then I was like, oh, you know, actually, I have to really go to the bathroom. And so I had to I just went from this amazing experience to like trying to drive around and find some place to go to the bathroom. And then after I went, then I was like, you know, I bought some water because I was like kind of dehydrated. So it was like bathroom, hydration. And then it was like, okay, I need someplace to lay my head. And so It wasn't like I was like wandering the streets looking for a safe place to duck into I was looking for a hotel, right? And I'm doing the whole like rocketmiles.com thing, trying to figure out the best combination. I'm Googling how much are United miles right now. So how much is it worth my while to pay slightly more for a hotel to get more airline miles? Cause I get airline miles. So I ended up just kind of punting and going for the closest one that gave me 1,000 airline miles. Paid a little too much for it, but it did the job and got me some sleep. But it was just funny just that even though it was like I have enough money to get a hotel room, I'm not, and there's all kinds of hotels around. But it was just funny just for a second. I was like, God, it's late and I need to go to bed and I'm not attached to anywhere. And so like, okay, so homelessness and desperation and poverty is like a 95, let's say. This was like a 4. Okay, this was way down on the list, but it was kind of like, oh God, I gotta find some place to sleep. You know, it was an interesting, I don't know, I felt a touch of like that kind of that normal, kind of that basic human, like, I need some place to put my head down. You know, it was just, I don't know, just a little moment. Went to the got a decent hotel. I'll tell you, there's just something to be said about a decent hotel. It's not a great hotel. It's not an amazing hotel. It's not a luxury hotel. It's just a good, solid hotel. Good, solid bed. A little bit of white noise. Slept like the dead. You know, I jacked up my software. I don't know how I actually slept because I used the function on my software that listens for you. Instead of, you know, the part that like you put it under the bed sheet and it like uses the accelerometer, and I had white noise going. So it couldn't hear anything other than it subtracts the white noise. but it couldn't hear anything. So it looked like it was just like out all night. Maybe I was out all night. I slept pretty hard, but I woke up feeling pretty decent. So there's something about sleeping in a hotel. Now I want to talk about, before we go to the break, I want to talk about lowering the bar and hotel breakfasts. It's like, there's something that I've seen a million times in different industries where you just flat lower the bar. And after you've lowered the bar, then you can kind of like go really, you can really clear the bar and people are impressed. It's like, it would be the equivalent. It's the entrepreneurial equivalent of going, taking your backyard basketball hoop, dropping it to 7.5 feet and then just dunking on it. And people are like, dude, that guy dunked it. It's like, well, yeah, he dunked it, but it was 7.5 feet off the ground. I mean, he didn't really have to jump at all. It was just like, he's a big fat guy and he still dunked it, right? Anyway, so you see that, like cable, right? Cable wait times. We're going to show up sometime today. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. is like your window. Like, you have to take a day off work to get, hey, cable hooked up at one point. Now they're down. Then they were down like our 3-hour cable hookup windows, you know, 4-hour cable. It's like they give you like a 4 or 5 hour window and you're like supposed to be like super stoked, you know? And then it's like, oh, we will show up within an hour. I'm like, dude, if I say I'm going to be somewhere at someone's house to do something and I don't show up within 5 minutes of when I said I was going to be there, it's like, you're late. But no, there's certain things like cable, plumbers, where they have to schedule a bunch of stuff. It's like, you're happy if they just give you a few hour window. And that has something to do with hotel breakfasts. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then all the color glass, that painter's palette smash. All the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love bedecked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Redbox Media. All right, when we went to the break, we were talking about lowering the entrepreneurial bar so that it's easy to get over and look good. And we talked about cable wait times and stuff, and that had something to do with hotel breakfasts. And here's this. So, you go to a hotel, like cheap hotels or something like that, and you have a continental breakfast. Now, continental breakfast is like notoriously bad in hotels, right? It's just stale muffin and, you know, some cinnamon rolls that even when you nuke them, they're kind of hard, and some crappy like cereal. And it's like, you know, not very good. So then you kind of expect that, but then someone comes along and they're like, no, we got a hot breakfast with real food. And you're like, oh, let's do this, you know? And so you go in and it's just like powdered eggs in a plastic container and like some biscuits and biscuits that are kind of like hard and gravy that was, you know, obviously out of a package. And, you know, it's good. I mean, it's like better than continental breakfast, but it's like airline food, right? I mean, it's like airplane food. But you're kind of like anything better than the continental breakfast. But it's like I thought about how much I paid for this hotel room. And it's like, that's pretty rough. And it's like, you know, compared to like when you stay in like a Hilton hotel or like a Hampton Inn even, it's like a little better than that. There's like, it's just a little more real. It's a little closer. It's not great, but it's better. And then heaven forbid you stay at like the DoubleTree right by in Greenwood Village down there. I go to that breakfast buffet sometimes for meeting because it's got an omelet bar and all this stuff. It's included in the cost of the room, and it's like $14-15 if you're not staying there. It's like great, but I got up this morning. I was like, this is a really good breakfast. And I got to think, but was this a good breakfast? No, it really. If I was served this breakfast at a restaurant for $7.99, I would have thought about sending it back. But compared to the stale muffin, it's like, oh, okay, well, I kind of set the bar so low, you know? Anyway, there you go. So, so it looks like, the folks I was going to hang out with here tonight are feeling a little under the weather. And so, during the break, I got a text and it looks like I'm probably going to put some highway under my car and get back to Denver, Colorado and get back on it a little bit. So, little change there. I think I may try to go to Oddly Correct still this afternoon though. I've been wanting to check out Oddly Correct a long time. I can still hit PT's again in Topeka on the way out. I need to evaluate some roasters and their current situations since I'm a potential new client out here. Need to figure out some stuff there. So I'm going to try to get another attempt at if you heard the show yesterday, I did this whole big bit about things that I idealize the idea of doing. And then when I actually do them, I'm like, oh, I don't like this at all, but I like the idea of it. One of those is very long drives, right? This is so profoundly ingrained in me that I have been in town like 4 days or so. I have did some kind of like little 2 hour drives here and there going around the state of Missouri and Kansas over here in this area. I'm already going like, all right, yeah, that's good. I can't wait to get on the road, head back to Colorado. It's going to be great. I got some time in the car. I'm going to be able to just think. I'm already idealizing the idea of getting in that car and driving. And I just yesterday did a show about how much I hate doing that and how much it doesn't live up to my idealization. And as we speak right now, I am sitting here looking forward to it. And I'm going to be 30 minutes into that drive and I'm like, God, crap. I hate long drives. I'm telling you, I don't know. I think it's mental illness, man. I'm telling you, I'm nuts. I am straight up nuts. Oh goodness. Well, most of the stuff I was wanting to talk about on the back end is stuff from the symposium and the Benedict option, which I'm going to, now that I'm going to get back in time, I'm going to get to go see Rod Dreher. In Boulder, and I'm gonna reconnect with him again. We had a couple of really good conversations at the symposium. We changed cards, so I think some of this stuff that's specifically about the Benedict option, I'm just gonna get him on the show and just do an interview with him. Now that I got my new ringer.com tool, why not? Let's interview everybody. You're gonna be like, God, come on, could you please just have like another random. Just stream of consciousness show, or, you know, which I get it. It's just so funny that people dig, you know, people like what I do. There are people who like what I do. And I thank both of you. But I got a text a while ago from John Coons, my old friend. And he was like, yes. Cause he was like, he would like chastise me for not putting a new show up. He was like, I want my MTV and I want my podcast. Like I want my MTV, you know? So we're dating ourselves. Not dating ourselves like I took myself out on a date, though I do take myself on dates. But I mean, you can't really date yourself or marry yourself. So I'm sure that's coming up next. I mean, I'm showing how old I am, but God, that was the most Ellen DeGeneres kind of like backup comedy bit right there. I just did. John says something about how my stream of consciousness makes him happy or something. And I was like, all right, good. He's like, oh, consider this my email. So I'm going to continue guilt tripping all of you to give me feedback. thecounterposition@gmail.com. If this means anything to you, tell me about it. I really love that. Just makes me super frigging happy. So by the way, you're going to be listening to this a day late because for the record, I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work in the hotel. And so I can't get this show loaded up. So when you're listening to this, I'm already going to be someplace else. So, We're kind of got a little bit of a gap on the shows coming this week. It's going to be a weird week. A lot of travel, a lot of work. We'll see what happens. I'm going to try to get a few shows in. So one last, I want to talk about technology and focus. Now, we were having this conversation last night. My friend Megan is a teacher, and her, Claire, and I were talking about just how distracted people are. We were talking about cell phones and porn and reality television and body expectations and fashion and just how incredibly increasingly each generation is more and more and more distracted. And we are getting farther and farther away from anyone being able to recognize normal human life as it has existed. And if you just went, hey, you know what we're going to do? And I know I'm kind of sounding like a traddy. My friends who are like Latin mask people before the extraordinary form was kind of like made easier to have. We're like, yeah, we're not like, we're just wanting to do the mass. Like it's been done for the first couple thousand years of the church. I mean, it's like every saint that you pray to, that guy on your medal that you're wearing right now, we're just doing the mass that he went to. There's an argument there. I'll get it. I'm not a big Latin master, but I get it. I'm fine with that. But we're to the point where it's like, hey, I just want to live the way people used to live. And just kind of, we're just going to like have a, like I said, I'm going to have a coffee house. I'm not going to have Wi-Fi. We're not going to have a bunch of devices and people with things in their ears so they can't hear anything. And we're not going to have a paper cup so everyone could just like get it to go. People are like, that's crazy. What are you, Amish? Oh my gosh. It's like, I mean, it's almost every cafe in Italy right now, and it, except for the to-go cup thing, even then, is just, that was every coffee house in America, like in the 90s, in the early 90s, just like in the 80s and 90s, there were, you went to a coffee house and you had a book and a journal. It's like, so it's like this idea that like, if you don't give your kid a cell phone at 10 with full access to the internet, like you're Amish or something. You know, it just freaks me out. Anyway, so I'm in the hotel today. I get up, kind of make some coffee in my room, right? Okay, so already that's like kind of like hipster. I admit it. I travel with gear, including a scale. And I got my, quick product review. There is a whistling tea kettle for your microwave that's plastic that holds a glass thing, and it's on Amazon. It's like $12. If you travel on the road, like in a car, and you're a coffee person, get this kettle. You don't have to leave the room. You pour some bottled water in it, throw it in the microwave. When it starts whistling, you shut it off. You grind your coffee and stuff. You can make coffee right in the room. Awesome. There's my pitch. All right. So I made some coffee in the room and, you know, wet my hair down, brushed the beard so I wouldn't look too scary. And, went out to get the bad breakfast that I talked about earlier. So there's this old guy sitting there with a driver's cap, bow tie, collared shirt tucked in, you know, jacket. He's got the paper and some papers and stuff. Papers, business papers. I'm doing a lot of Lebowski today. And so he's got these papers and he's just sitting there and he's just not really moving much. And he's just reading something and just, he's not, there's a TV going behind him. He doesn't even look up at it. The whole time I eat breakfast, he's just reading the paper, doing his thing. I get up, come back to the room, do all this stuff, go out to ask him something for the Wi-Fi. He's still sitting there reading the paper. I go back to the room, change clothes, get into my swim trunks, go down, sit in the hot tub, get all stretched out because I've been kind of stiff from driving and stuff, swim around the pool a little bit, 20 minutes, come back, change clothes, go back out to the car to get something. He's still sitting there reading the paper. I come back in, do this stuff, packed up my stuff, took some stuff out, went back out to the car, got the gear to record this. He's still sitting there reading the paper. And I thought, that level of sustained attention where he's just sitting there reading the articles that are in this paper. And just, he says, that's what he's going to do for this morning. That is like a superpower in the modern world. That kind of sustained focus. Yeah. All right. Let's pull the plug, pop the cork, another episode of The Counter Position. Just get on the road. See you next time.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.